God reigns. And today's message is a very powerful message. It goes from Genesis to Revelation. And as you saw from my email, the title of the message is called Watch and Pray. And let's see if you can see this. Hold on. For those of you that saw it in, notice those little emergency exclamations. Usually when you see a sign on the road like that, it's telling you to pay attention, isn't it? And the Lord just said to me to talk about watching and praying because he said, caution, distractions ahead. All right? I know we've had a lot of distractions thus this year, but there are more distractions ahead. But we can avoid them because they lead to unstable thinking. And so we are first going to go into the scriptures in Matthew 26, verse 41. I think probably one subject matter a lot of people don't like to hear, or at least their flesh doesn't like to hear, is warnings. But warnings are a good thing because they actually protect us. So in the book of Matthew 26:41, it says, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Now, for the Christian, when I say the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak, this is talking to believers. So this is about the born-again spirit. Your spirit man, born again from the Holy Spirit of God, is willing. But the mind, if it is not worked with, the thoughts, it can try to hinder that, and that's why we are told to watch and pray. And this is a throughout the Bible. When you look at the scriptures, where there's so much warnings throughout the scriptures, but I think as you hear this message, that I've really never discussed something quite like this in the way I'm going to share it, that we need to remember that all distractions are temptations. Maybe you never thought about that way, but every distraction that you ever have, and there are distractions every single day of our life, they are temptations, and their purpose is to draw us away from the ways of God and fall. Okay? The scripture I'm going to share with you is one of the greatest scriptures I ever learned as a very young believer. So turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to look at verse 13. The Apostle Paul, speaking to the church in Corinth, said, "There hath no temptation taken you," which means if a temptation got a hold of you, he said, "but such as is common to man." In other words, all people will have different degrees of temptations because none of us have arrived. He said, "but God is faithful, who will not suffer you," which means allow you, "to be tempted above that you are able." Able to what? Well, "but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it." So he's telling us every single person will have temptations come their way because none of us have arrived. Jesus even had to deal with temptations because he came and was born into a fallen world full of temptations. And I don't, you know, like some people, I don't think really think about how could Jesus be tempted. But it says he went into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. His temptations weren't like any temptations we would have, but the Bible says he was tempted of the devil, which means he had a choice. He just made the right choices with every single one of those temptations. And I think it's interesting because we're going to go back to where temptation is mentioned first. Jesus was the Savior more than I think we realize. He actually saved mankind by going back, coming into this world as the Son of God, but still going through a temptation like Adam and Eve did in the wilderness, right? And they were in the garden, and he overcame it, but they didn't. So he actually, the Bible says, became the second Adam. You ever wondered about that? Well, he passed the temptation and was able to bring salvation to all of us because of the fall. So can you even imagine what the work of Adam and Eve was supposed to be on this earth? Do you think about, since we're going to live eternally, that God may have a special work for you to do someplace? And so we all have to know how to overcome temptations. The cause of, for any temptation that you experience comes from your inward desires. So if we are ever tempted, it is an inward desire that is not right that is actually being tempted. The outer object is the occasion for the temptation, but it isn't the cause. The cause came from our own mind. So if we purify our desires through meditating on the Word of God, having that deep relationship with the Lord and the Holy Spirit, the temptations will not be able to take a hold of you because it wouldn't be a temptation for you anymore. So when we purify our thoughts, that's the purpose of renewing our mind with the Word of God. The mind has to be renewed because before every one of us were saved, we had certain thought processes that were out of the ways of God. Every person, every single person did. So when we purify our thoughts, things that used to tempt us become dead and lifeless. Think about your life as a believer and some of the things that maybe you were tempted to do before that you know were wrong, and the temptation's just not there anymore. So what the desire that was removed from you through purifying your thoughts was removed from your heart. And for example, an honest person cannot be tempted to steal, no matter what. If the heart of a person is honest, they can't steal. It's just not in them. You may look at your life today after you've been born again and the things that you don't do that you did before you were born again that you know are wrong, it's just not there anymore. When I've shared about, you know, John and I and our parties before we were Christians and getting drunk and all that, the desire when I was born again was taken away. How did it get taken away? Because I found out what God said about it. And so he removed it. So when he removes the desire is no longer there. And therefore, the temptation will never be there again. Isn't that exciting? If we stop renewing our minds, we walk away from the Lord, and you might say, well, gosh, you know what? I knew this believer, and they were doing so well, but now they're back doing this. And there's a Bible verse that says, you were running your race well. Who hindered you that you would not obey the truth? I know many times as Christians, we can look around at believers that maybe we're really serving the Lord and they're not. And you're thinking, what happened? They did not renew their mind. They did not allow God to transform not just the desire to do something anymore, but the reason why you don't want to do this anymore. So when that desire is removed from your heart, the outside object no longer holds any allure. Good word. So how do we purify our desires? How do we help a new believer? Because as we bring people into the kingdom of God, or as we are sent around people that are young, as we work with our grandchildren, you know, one thing I had to work with my grandson was fear. Fear of the unknown. And it wasn't that I said there weren't any snakes around. It was that I had learned how to listen to God and know by my surroundings when it was safe. So I actually put within him a spiritual truth and a natural truth so that his thinking would be correct. And how fast he received that, because otherwise I would have been carrying him, I'm sure, and had to probably get out. We were probably about midway through, we were about a third way through the trail, and I really didn't want him to lose out on seeing some of the wildlife that I knew he would enjoy. And so I needed to, as a laborer, sow into him so that I could move him forward. This is what we need to do when we're working with people, with the things of God, is we need to hear from the Lord at what is it we're dealing with, and what can I give this person to help purify their desires and their thoughts. When we only think God's thoughts about any thoughts, it doesn't mean you're not going to hear thoughts that aren't God thoughts. You watch the news, you're getting information. But when you understand God's thoughts, then you know what to do with every thought that is contrary. Say you're watching the news and you're hearing about some serial killer. You realize that this person is deeply lost. Who knows what happened to them? But if God puts somebody on your heart, then he has to also give you more information through the gifts of the Holy Spirit to know how to intercede. Say you have a child and you want to see them move forward. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to show you, where are they stuck in their thoughts? Where have their thoughts not been purified by God's thoughts? So, how do we purify our body? Maybe you want to pure thoughts in your mind, but would you all like a healthier body? Because we can have a healthy body. And God teaches us that we're supposed to actually present our bodies a living sacrifice to him. So the way to have a healthy body is we only think about having a healthy body. It doesn't matter what your past is. This was so life-changing for me when I became a Christian, that I didn't have to live my past weaknesses, natural and mental, how I thought about things. I just began to meditate on what God says. He said I could be whole, spirit, soul, and body. And I've always said, when I've been to mentoring with Miriam, or I've said before all of you, that my goal in life, one of my major goals, is to be whole continuously, spirit, soul, and body. And I know what it takes to do that. It takes a lot of getting to know what God says about it, meditating on it until my mind only thinks the way God thinks. We're told not to be conformed to this world. This is what the Bible says. But be transformed, and the only way to be transformed is the renewing of the mind. Isn't it interesting that it says renew? When you record something, you push a little button and it actually records what you are saying. Well, when you renew your mind, you're actually allowing your mind to go and only think the way God wants you to think from this day forward. Most people were not brought up this way. They were not raised to think the way God thinks. They had maybe their own family ways of thinking about things, their only family ways to respond to certain things. Some of them may have been godly and some of them may have been not. And so I think most people are brought up with a lot of mixture, a lot of mix in their thoughts. But if you were brought up to only think about having a healthy body and eating healthy food, then it wouldn't be a big deal to you because it was just the way you were brought up. I used to wonder, my mom is so strict. I don't remember if I could count on both hands how many times we had soda at home. It's just, she was just very diligent. And therefore, it was not hard for me to, if I got away from that, to come back to that. And some people, it may be what the Bible calls a stronghold. Y'all ever heard of a stronghold? What is a stronghold? I'm sure Rich could probably tell you. It's when you really have a good grip on that person that you've taken down, right? And they can't move. And so many times we have to intercede for people that have strongholds because they don't know how to pray themselves out of things. And I believe that each one of us have testimonies of different people that we have prayed for. I know the Bakers would probably say, with the situation we prayed for years, that they're seeing that stronghold was removed. So the good news is if a person is not able to pray for themselves about a certain stronghold, I would say, first of all, if you're a Christian, get help. Ask for help. Ask for somebody to come up alongside you that has overcome and stand with you. Because I've said this before, Miriam always used to say, everybody needs the Holy Spirit and a good friend. And so to get through strongholds that people have been brought up with, they really do need support in intercessory prayer. And sometimes you're not telling the person that is in bondage that you're praying for them, and other times you actually are working alongside them. So we're told not to be conformed to this world. This world means everything that you hear on the news, everything that you hear people say about the day that we live in that is not of God. He said that we are only supposed to renew our mind to those things that are perfect and acceptable unto God. So, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Luke I really believe this message is going to be a very delivering message and a strengthening, undergirding message for those that may be coming to an area of their life or somebody that they're praying for where they need to get past some strongholds. It's one thing that maybe somebody's tempted here and there and, you know, they get back on track and it's easy. But it's another thing when it's an actual stronghold and you aren't able to get past it for very long. Okay, Luke 11, and we're going to look at verse 4. Jesus said, "And forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." That literally means from the evil one. This was Jesus' own words. Jesus had to be delivered from the evil one to become the Savior of the world. So if you think, well, Jesus just doesn't understand, the Bible says he was tempted. And you might say, but how could Jesus be tempted? He wasn't tempted with anything like we were tempted with. He was tempted to do something on his own apart from what God wanted. It would be like somebody picking up a career that God never called them to do. You might think, that is a temptation? Yeah, if you're out of the will of God, you're out of the will of God. And we will be rewarded only for what we have done that God has called us to do. This is why the Lord has always told me to talk about people's calls. We need to know what we're called to do. First of all, we were called to come out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That's the first call. Everyone be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But that wasn't it. The other was that we would know what the hope of his calling while we're here on earth was to do. And so it's important that we take new believers, like your grandchildren or anybody that has just come to the Lord, and tell them they didn't just get born again so they're just going to heaven. It's because they have a purpose. And they need to know what that purpose is. Okay, so you do have an enemy to your call, but the good news is he has been defeated on the cross, but our part is to enforce that. You know, that's what police do. We have the laws of the land, but they are the enforcers of the law. The laws are already there, right, Rich? They've already been set. We already have a constitution that's been set. Everything has already been established. But we need people to enforce them. So when people are not obeying the natural laws, then we have to have somebody that to come and enforce them. Otherwise, we won't have peace. But it's the same with us as Christians as we seek the Lord for why are we here? What is my purpose here? To enforce a measure of your will, Lord, because your call is always connected to the will of God in some way, shape, or form. Whether it's to actually establish it, like myself and Miriam, to actually put in these foundations or to undergird it in some way, shape, or form. But everyone has a God-ordained purpose. And that's so important to know. We were commanded to watch and pray against entering temptations. So when Adam and Eve were tempted in the garden, they were careless about their obedience. And because the Bible says that God will always give a way of escape. You might say, but I'm just so tempted. I'm just so tempted over and over in this one situation. But the Bible says he will always provide a way of escape. Our part is to find out what the way of escape is. Maybe it's just a thought process about a certain person, or a thought process about your ability to do something, your ability to overcome something, your ability to maybe win your children to the Lord. These are temptations from the adversary to try to stop the purposes of God going forward. So, the way of escape is always a way out. One amazing prayer to speak over you, yourself, is that the Lord would keep you from the evil one and all temptations that are evil, though they may appear good. This is a great prayer to pray over yourself. Lord, I thank you, you keep me. Just pray this right now for yourself. Lord, I thank you that you keep me from the evil one, from any temptation that is evil. You keep me. You give me the way out. Powerful. Powerful, powerful, powerful. All right. We're going to go into the Garden of Eden. Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. Spend a little time with Adam and Eve in the garden. It's quite an interesting experience. We're going to start with chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. So here's Adam's call, right? Called by God into the Garden of Eden to dress it and keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. Now, question, was Eve there when God told him this? Nope. Eve was not even created yet. All right, or maybe procreated out of Adam's rib. He said, I will make him a help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Isn't that really awesome? Think about that. Look at your spouse right now. Just say, wow. wow, God chose to bring me here out of man. Selah. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now we're going to get into the very sobering news. Verse 1 of 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Now, the word subtle isn't like I think some people would say, oh, they subtly brought me this little thing. It means crafty. It meant skillful, clever, learned, very learned. It meant ingenuous. It meant sly, skillful in scheming. It says the main modern sense of this word, skillfully done or made, was intelligent, learned, artful, and just basically very creative. I'll tell you, our adversary, though it says he goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, he's very clever. All you have to do is just be aware from the eyes of the Holy Spirit in this day at how clever the adversary is in trying to get things spoken on the news, the way they're spoken, just very, very cunning. And though Satan's words to Adam were literally true, it meant something very different from what he was promised. We need to remember that God knows evil only to hate it. And I don't mean in a sinful way to hate it. God knows evil, but there is no evil within God. He has no desire for evil. But our adversary does. So God doesn't know evil experientially. But innocent humanity could only know about evil by being able to participate in it. This is where Adam and Eve fell. They participated in evil. And as we know, the discovery of what they experienced caused their ultimate demise and caused death to come upon all men. One thing that the Lord wants to say to every one of us today is do not doubt the words of God to you. He said all of his promises are yes and in him amen. If he says he heals all disease, do not doubt him. If you are doubting that he heals all or that he can actually help transform you, then you are listening to your adversary, the devil. Satan will always cast doubt on God's word. Always. He started it from the very beginning. Hath God said? Now, he may not use those exact words, but he just may give you a feeling that you will never overcome in a certain area. And I know I'm not just speaking to you all. I'm speaking to people that will listen to this that are hopeless about being in bondage in certain ways and not knowing how can I come out of these bondages. Satan denied that God had Eve's best interest in mind. According to the serpent, God was holding back something from Adam and Eve. Have you ever thought about that when you read about the temptation in the wilderness? That eating from the tree would provide them. The irony to this is that Adam and Eve were already like God in the sense that they were created in his image. But whatever the reason was for God not wanting Eve to eat of the forbidden fruit, Satan was casting doubt on God's words. I really believe today can be a major breakthrough for every single person in an area that the enemy has lied to you very cunningly because of maybe a mishap in your own life. And today, you can put him under your feet. The Bible says that God has put all things, Jesus being the head, but he's put all things under his feet to the church. We are part of the body of Christ, and all these things, temptations that the enemy would try to bring to us, to our children, to those that we want to pray for that are in authority, we can have authority as he gives it to us through the unctions of the Holy Spirit. Whatever the reason was, again, for God not wanting Eve to eat of the forbidden fruit, he used doubt. And doubt not dealt with will turn into unbelief, because doubt is a suggestion, but unbelief is a spirit. You read in the New Testament about the spirit of unbelief. God is a spirit of faith, pure faith. But our adversary is a spirit of unbelief. And I believe this truth is going to revolutionize some people that have been stuck in certain areas that they have wanted to overcome, but that spirit of unbelief has been lodged there. And like a log cabin has been building log upon log upon log of thoughts throughout your life to stop you from ever understanding that they are lies and that you are not to bite on those lies in your mind, in your thoughts anymore. It's interesting that Eve believed the serpent rather than God. But isn't it interesting that he deceived her when God was alone with Adam in the beginning? Did he not tell her something? Did he not pass some information on to Eve? Well, the truth is that he went along with her. Now, I'm not saying that this is a man and woman issue, but anytime God tells us something, don't let man tempt you, because it's the adversary using man to go another way. Don't let an evil thought, if God is encouraging you to move forward and get free in certain areas, don't let the devil have you biting on that apple and deceive you. So, remember something about your adversary. Satan distorts truth. This is where some people, if they are not diligent in understanding the will of God, the ways of God, and the word of God, when they get a thought, if they don't have enough of the truth in them, then they won't know that their adversary has distorted the Word of God. Satan's words were designed to get Eve to debate God's command. And to entertain the possibility that God did not know what was best. Now, it says that he was subtle and he was cunning. And we might say, you know, sometimes people say, oh, I would never be tempted by that. Well, maybe you wouldn't be tempted by what that person's being tempted by. But if you are not fully transformed and renewed in your mind, then you will have an area that will be, temptations will come. Some people can be tempted to take their money, their wealth, and never give God the glory for it. Some people can be tempted to build something great, but not build it correctly. You know, when you think about some buildings that have just gone down, my brother-in-law, his specialty is to go and to see if the structure of a building is right. And he's done a lot up in San Francisco. How many of you know of the big building that is tilting up there? So he's actually gone up there to make sure that it is still stable enough to stand. Well, the Holy Spirit is our helper. He knows how stable we are today, this day in history, today, right now, Wednesday, in what's ahead. But he wants us to be as stable as possible. And therefore, we need to seek him first every single day and ask him to ready us for every single day. Because he knows what you're going to see on the news. He knows what's happening tomorrow. He sees everything in the realm of the spirit. He sees what's going on. That's where we lie in darkness. And the only way that we can know is by the help of the Holy Spirit of God. So, how do you walk through temptations? Turn in your Bible to James chapter 1. Now, the book of James was written by the half-brother of Jesus, and he was speaking to believers that were being severely persecuted. If you've never been severely persecuted, whether it is just somebody downing you because of who you are as a Christian or somebody beating on you because you're a Christian, but this group of believers were being severely persecuted. And this is what James says to them. Verse 1 or 2. It says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience or endurance. But let endurance have its perfect work in you, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. All right, let's look at this scripture really close. James is saying, count it all joy. Now you might say, well, what does that mean, count it all joy? This word count means to lead before the mind, which means you have to purposely, mentally think this on purpose. You have to do it. You have to make a decision that I am going to think about this trial, that I will always overcome with victory, and that will give you joy. If you understand that when your faith is tried, it actually is creating with you within you endurance. Some people say, oh, no, I'm in another trial. Well, wait a minute. It says let that trial work endurance in you. How do you let a trial work endurance? You continue to think the way God says. You always overcome with victory. I always overcome with victory. He always leads me in triumph. That doesn't mean you're never going to have a trial. It just means that in everything, thank Him that He works all things together for good. The trying of your faith. I'll tell you, a lot of people don't allow their faith to be tried correctly. And they don't realize that the more you meditate and the more you say what God says, you're actually building you on the inside. When you're in a trial and all you're doing is looking at the scary stuff, your mind is going to take in that trash. And it's going to remember all of it. But if you are, you can't think, the wonderful thing that I love about our creation is that He's created our minds to only be able to think at one thing at a time. So if you're only thinking about, I'm enduring this, you can't think about failing. You can't. It's impossible because of the way He created us. Now, I don't know if you all think about this, but I think about this often, because what an important and powerful safety valve that God put in the creation of man, and knowing, because He knows all, that man would fall. But to me, it's a safety valve that He has created us this way. So if we stay focused in our meditations and our declarations about what God says, then we will overcome any trial. Because when you count something, if I told you to count, just everybody count from 1 to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 5 minutes ago, you weren't thinking about counting from 1 to 10. But I had you bring this before your mind to count, to think about 1, 2, 3. So when you count something, all joy, that you are falling into this diverse temptation, knowing that the trying of your faith works endurance, what do you think they were counting in their mind? I will overcome. Say that right now out of your own mouth. I will overcome. Say it again. I will overcome. Now say this. I will to overcome. Your will is a powerful gift from God. And it is what God gave us to determine what we will think about and what we will do. And whatever we feed our will is what will empower our will. If we feed our will that we're weak and that we always fall into this temptation and I just can't stop wanting this, that is feeding your will incorrectly. But if we feed our will that I am disciplined and diligent and I have the temperance of the Holy Spirit in me, then you are actually feeding your will strong food. So remember, when you count something, when you're in a temptation, you have to have something consciously going through your mind. James said that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What is a double-minded man. A double-minded man is a man that thinks what God thinks and says what God says and then suddenly says what the devil says or what their flesh is saying, whatever is tempting them. And the Bible says that when we do that, instead of stay diligent to only do what he says to do, and that is count it all joy and lead the right thoughts before our mind, then we become unstable. Now, I just want you to think about being on unstable ground. What's the first thing we do when the earthquake hits? Don't we make sure we're stable someplace? Because a lot of things around us are unstable. Well, we live in a fallen world, so we are surrounded by unstable people. But if we remain like James spoke to these very persecuted believers, to count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. In other words, take time every day to put the right thoughts before your mind about your spirit, your soul, your body, your family, your belongings, whatever it is that he wants you to count. And you will see a supernatural transformation take place in your life. In this day, our mind, our hearts, and our feet need to be stable because it is a very unstable day in the world that is. I love when, about the temptations, it says that he'll always make a way of escape. Next time you feel tempted, ask the Lord to show you the way of escape. This is something you can teach your little grandchildren. You can teach your children. A lot of times it's our focus is always our reality. So whatever we're focusing on becomes the reality, whether we want that reality or not. So, hope is a factor in salvation. You have to have hope for eternity. You have to have some picture that you could be forgiven. Jesus is our hope. Hope finds its expression in enduring under a trial. Hope, the Bible says, is an anchor to our soul. If we want to remain stable in this day, then we need to be careful what we are allowing our soul to think about over long periods of time. Get the information from the news, but spend more time meditating on what God says and praying. Also, prayer and meditation is a purifying power to your soul. Praise the Lord. Watch out for distortions in this day from all places. Stay stable. Don't doubt the word of God. Ask the Lord to show you any capture points, any places where your adversary has been tempting you that you can actually overcome before there ever is one. A lot of times it's just a choice. It's a decision. When I went on my Fitness Pal, it was a decision to keep my soul anchored. And it has been. It's so fun because it always tells me how many days. I think it's over 600 days now. I don't know. Anyway, tells me how many days I've been doing this. But it's actually been great. It's helped me anchor my soul. So ask the Lord today, what is it that I need to anchor my soul? Or what is it that maybe I need to share with my son or my daughter to help anchor their soul? What is it I need to share with this laborer, this soul that God's put on my heart to anchor their soul? Because in this day, many souls are very unstable, even what I would say are Christian souls. Many, many are. And you can see it in what they put on social media. I know my part is to help people keep their souls at peace. Amen.